Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, and welcome to the Meeting Ike series, Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Marina Leros-Naples, and I am your host for everything holistic, metaphysical, and spiritual. We now have listeners from not only the United States on the show, but also from Italy and Hong Kong. So welcome, welcome, everyone. Here is where you can learn more about these topics in a fun, laid-back, and practical manner. I also offer online classes for children ages 6 to 18 on a platform called OutSchool. And there I hold guided meditation classes, academic classes about meditation symbols and their meanings, as well as about herbs and how to make all-natural bath and body care products, and more. I am in the process of uploading adult classes on Udemy, and that's Udemy.com. And I'll let you know once these become available for you as well. Here on my blog talk show, I offer two different shows for your listening and learning pleasure. My Wednesday evening live show is aired every other Wednesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time. And it is a 30-minute show with a different special guest each time. My lunchtime learning show is on Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon, Eastern Time also, and that is a 15-minute live show every other week and is aired the opposite week of my evening shows. This evening, my guest is Carol Ann Leros, who is also my mother. I was raised in a holistic, metaphysical, and spiritual home from a young age and have had uncountable experiences along the way. It was definitely an unusual upbringing, and I've shared some of those experiences in other shows. Carol Ann is a psychic researcher, lecturer, instructor, and author of two traditionally published books, and she is also in over 30 books worldwide. She has and still does work through the Edgar Cayce's Association for Research Enlightenment, also known as the ARE. And she's also worked on her own during all those years, decades actually. She is the director for Creative Community Institute, the creator of Project Blind Awareness and Junior Project Blind Awareness, teaching the blind how to see using their psychic abilities. She was in the documentary Inner Spaces, which was narrated by Edgar Mitchell, and was on the That's Incredible show back in the mid-80s. Carol Ann is with us this evening to discuss poltergeists and things that go bump in the night. And since it's St. Patrick's Day, maybe she can shed a bit of light on the mischievousness of leprechauns as well. Probably not, but yeah, I don't think anybody can shed some light on that. So in this show, we're going to find out, are ghosts, poltergeists, and attachments real? What's the difference and how to tell the difference? Where does some of them come from? Should you be afraid of them? Should you get rid of them or let someone else do it? Will keeping them around be beneficial or harmful? So I am going to go over to the show here right now, and I'm trying to remember again how to do this. If this is... Okay, I think I did it. Carol Ann, Mom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Marina, listening to every word.
Okay. All right, wonderful. Thank you, and welcome to the show this evening.
Thanks,
so,
Marina.
With everything here is talking about, this is a really hot topic for people. People are always interested in ghosts and poltergeists and other things that happen and go bump in the night. So, what can you share with us and shed some light on for people who are listening that don't know the differences and may have some activity going on in their home and not know what to do about it and whether or not they should be afraid? So I'm going to turn the floor over to you.
Okay, thanks, Marina. I think one of the reasons that most people believe in ghosts and that whole area is because they've had their own experiences with it. It's very, very common. Although most people tend to lump ghosts, poltergeists, hauntings, all in the same category as if they can use them interchangeably, when actually there's a difference between those experiences. And so when we talk about ghosts, for example, we are talking about a spirit who has, you know, lived in a body and passed on into the other life, or died, as we say, and comes back to us sometimes in many different ways. And there are 1,000 variations on this, but people report waking up in the middle of the night and seeing their grandmother standing at the end of their bed, and later they find out that at that time their grandmother died, and she came to say goodbye and whatever, you know, loving thoughts that she would have. That's a typical ghost experience, although, as I said, there are 1,000 variations on it. You may be sitting in your living room and suddenly you see or hear or feel a presence. Well, this is someone that you can interact with. Let's say it's your father that is there. You can begin to communicate with this spirit, and they use a form of telepathy. Most people don't really hear spoken words, but they use a form of telepathy. So you can interact with ghosts, which is a very different experience than hauntings, although people, as I said, use these terms interchangeably, but they really aren't. A haunting is different in this way. Let's say you go to a movie theater and you're watching a film. Well, there is an imprint on the film when it was filmed, etc., and you cannot interact with the actors. Every time that film is played, the same things will happen every single time that film is played, and you can't interact like you can with a ghost. It's as if the energy in a haunting has been imprinted on the very ethers of the air itself. For example, when people go onto very well-known battlefields, Civil War battlefields, things like that, they may see or hear or feel, experience in some way the battle. They may hear cries, they may hear gunshots, they may actually see the action. But no matter how many times they go there, it's the same thing. It's like a film being replayed because of the tremendous emotional impact that was going on in that battlefield where people were being hurt and killed and, you know, so on. So if you tried to interact with the soldiers, for example, in that Civil War scene, they wouldn't acknowledge you because they're not there. Their spirit is not there. It's like a movie film imprinted on the ethers in that area. Now, it doesn't have to be as dramatic as, you know, a battlefield. It can be in a home. You go into one room, and you may see someone pass from one doorway to another. And no matter how you try to talk to them or change that, it's always the same. Well, that's a haunting, different than ghosts. Then a one that's very popular, and again used very interchangeably, is the term poltergeist, which is a German word that means playful ghost. Well, there really isn't any ghost associated with this kind of experience. Dr. Hans Bender from Freiburg, Germany, a psychiatrist, and many others, have done research in this area of poltergeist, and what they have discovered, to take a very complex subject and make it very simplistic, is that rather when they investigated cases of poltergeist where people said things would fly through the air, maybe even knives flying through the air, or lights going on and off in their home, or tappings on the wall, all kinds of experiences like that. What they discovered was this activity was usually around a child going through puberty, either a male or a female, although it tended to be more females, as I understand it, having been with Dr. Bender on a couple of these experiences. And so what they found was that quite often in the home, one of the parents was very domineering, and this teenager who's going through puberty could not express themselves. They could not, you know, let loose with how they really felt. Very restrictive environment. And one of the cases I went on with him evolved around a 14-year-old girl who had a very domineering mother. In fact, when Dr. Bender would ask the girl questions about her experience that had to do with this flying plastic horse, the mother would answer. The girl never spoke a word. And as non-psychologist as I am, I could see that this was a very domineering woman. So that's an entirely different experience than a ghost or a haunting, as you can see. And I'm making it very simplistic. It's more complex than that, but there's a very distinct difference. And then we have this very popular term called attachments. People say, you know, well, so-and-so has an attachment. Well, what do they mean by that? Because attachments are usually spirits, ghosts, if you will, who have left this plane of existence, this life, with some kind of a craving. It might be for alcohol. It might be for drugs. It might be for sex. It might be for domineering another person. Those kinds of intense experiences. And so they hang around someone who, an alcoholic who left his life as an alcoholic, would probably hang around a bar. And as the people are drinking, their energy, their aura, particularly in the crown chakra, on the top of the head, opens up, and these spirits can get in temporarily. Temporarily, they attach themselves to the individual, but as the individual sobers up, it's just an attachment, as different than possession. So as you can see, these four terms alone are very, very different, even though, as I said, an awful lot of people use them interchangeably. So that's the difference. Now, if you have a ghost in your house and it's your grandmother or, you know, someone like that, or a very benign spirit person, do you want to get rid of them? Or is it someone who really frightens you or frightens your family in some way? Well, you do what you would do if someone walked in your front door uninvited. You tell them to leave. You tell them with conviction, with firmness, this is your space, and you don't want them there, they have to leave. And so that's how many people will deal with the ghost situation. Of course, hauntings, that's a whole different situation. You can go in and cleanse the room of the film, quote-unquote, that is in that room that replays that same scene over and over and over again. And then poltergeist...
Now, will that get rid of it? Now, will that get rid of it? Or
somehow
is it
erases
just something
it. It's almost like a film that I think if you put a magnetic field over a film, it erases it. It's something like that. And
okay.
Then the poltergeist...
And how would someone go about doing that?
Well, the way I teach it is I would have them go into the room, sit quietly, and imagine a white light coming in the top of their head, the white light of the highest energy in the universe, fill themselves completely with it, have it radiate out of every pore of their body, and fill the room with it as if they were painting the ceiling with this white light, and the walls and every square inch of the floor and any closets and anything in the room. Just fill it with white light. And that acts as a, what would you call it, a demagnetizer type of experience,
okay,
like with film. And that gets rid of it. That changes the energy in the room. And you're not hurting anyone because there's no one there. It's like a movie.
Right. Okay.
And then the poltergeist, Dr. Bender told me, what's that?
I said that sounds easy enough. People should be able to do that without any fear and without any concern.
Yes. In fact, one of the things I want to say, don't be afraid of anything that happens in this field. I've been in this field for 50-some years, and fear is not one of the experiences I've had of anything I've experienced in this field, and I've had a lot of them, hundreds and hundreds, of course. So usually when something has happened to me, I look at it with, this is interesting, what is this, what's happening here? And I have more of a curious reaction to it than fear. So remember, you are strong. You are very strong. You get in contact with that higher self in you, the God within, whatever you call it, and you are a very powerful being. With poltergeist activity, what Dr. Bender told me was that most of the time when someone would come and investigate it, you know, go just like we did to this young girl's house and talk to the family and talk to the, in this case, the young girl and ask her about when it happens. And it was interesting because one of the questions he asked, which the mother answered, is how often does this happen? Have you kept a record? Well, the mother was very smart. She did, and it happened every 28 days, which coincided with the girl's menstrual cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again,
yeah, yeah.
Very common. Very common. So quite often, just someone coming and, you know, inquiring about it in a very safe way, the activity stops usually.
Well, that's
so
good. That's encouraging for people who are having those happen and
yes.
Also knowing that being able to involve that child in with conversations and give them that bit of power that they need to have so that it can stop and that it is not a ghost or somebody who is intending to do harm. It's that extra energy and frustration.
Exactly. See, what we have to remember is that we are the strong one. You know, we have a body, we have a mind, we have a soul. They, many times, like ghosts, some of them are wandering around, don't even know they're dead yet. And so to be frightened of them or to feel negative feelings toward them or anger or something, most of the time isn't very appropriate. Recognize, you know, get a sense. Tune into your own psychic ability about, okay, what's going on here? And they may feel very lost, and perhaps you can lead them back to the light, you know. So reacting with fear, number one, doesn't help you, and it doesn't help them. And there really isn't any reason to react with fear 99.9% of the time. Now, if it seems like a malevolent spirit, you know, of course, then you really call upon whatever a higher power is for you to have them, you know, leave. Go to where they belong, wherever that might be.
What would you say would be, couldn't you share with us one a little bit about the most profound experience that you've had with anything in that category, whether it was ghost or poltergeist or haunting?
Well, I've had many, many experiences, some of them very humorous. Sometimes, you know, going to investigate, when we used to investigate them, we found out that there really wasn't a ghost at all, but, you know, a loose floorboard or, you know, something, some physical reason.
Right.
The most profound work I feel I've done has been in cases of possession, which, again, is a whole different category. But that's a very, that's such an in-depth subject, I really wouldn't want to try and cover it in this conversation, perhaps at another time, because it is very lengthy to set the foundation for an understanding of what possession is and, you know, so on. But one of the interesting experiences that I had with a ghost was I used to own an organic beauty shop. I was a beautician, and a friend of mine would come on Friday night. She'd be my last customer, and I was doing her hair. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a woman sitting in the chair next to her, a very petite woman with this blue dress on and blonde hair, very meticulously coiffed, every hair in place, very lovely. And she had a gold pin on her dress. And I knew she wore that color blue because it matched her eyes. And as I went to look at her, my friend saw the expression on my face and said, what happened? What's going on? I said, Lois, I saw this woman sitting in the chair next to me. She said, who was it? I said, I have no idea. What did she look like? And then I described her to Lois, and Lois said, oh, she said, that's my friend. I said, oh, what do you mean? She said, my friend was dying of cancer. She was in Roswell hospital in Buffalo, and she died, you know, this morning when I went to visit her. And the last thing she said to me was, "Lois, make sure my hair looks good in the casket." We women always have
so
to
wear
So
she came to you to have her hair done.
Yeah, she came to a beauty shop. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And the thing is, she was a beautician. She was a beautician.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Months later, I saw a picture of her, and I said, "That's the woman I saw." And the part that was interesting to me was that she was solid. It wasn't like she was filmy or, you know, vague or in any way transparent. She was as solid as any person in the body. That's the part that surprised me with that experience, because I've had other experiences. I'm not one who sees a lot of spirits or ghosts. I'm not one of those people, but I do, you know, have had experiences definitely over the years.
People can only see them out of the corner of their eye, or they get a faint image of something, or but it's not common that I've known and heard about over the years of seeing them solid and on a regular basis every time that somebody would see one, seeing them as solid in a solid form.
Right. Sometimes, like I do, I see not the person so much as a golden form, you know, of a person. And I just have a sense of who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then a communication happens, like telepathy. Other times, a transparency, like the woman that was in our basement, remember? I think you saw it and your sister saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she would walk. She would walk from the right to the left, and that was it. And I tried to talk to her. You know, it's also to me that was a haunting. It wasn't really a ghost per se, but that she was transparent. You could see through her. So everybody's experience is different and yet similar. In other words, similar meaning many, many people have had these experiences we're talking about here. And as they tell me when I give lectures, they come up and say, "I've never told anyone this before, but." Mm. And usually they have that way of introducing themselves quite often, maybe 60% of the time, it's a man. Because he feels, you know, well, I can't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in that stuff, and so on. And they start out that way and then will tell me a story about, you know, encountering a ghost or whatever, haunting.
And that's a shame they don't feel comfortable with saying something to someone, holding that in for so long, and only sharing it in a circumstance like that. You know, we would hope that we've come far enough that people would feel comfortable to be able to share that information and not feel awkward or fear of people looking at them funny not believing them. So it's a shame that people hold it in for so long.
Well, times are changing because, you know, years ago when I started in this field in 1966, that was a very common thing. But today, and like back then when I taught classes at Rosary Hill College in Buffalo, out of 125 people, maybe we had two or three men. Well, you know, and the readings I did, 99% of them were women. Well, today, about, I would say, 35 to 40% of the people I read for are men today. So times have definitely changed, and that's the good news.
Yes, it is. That is good news, and we need to have more of that. Now you have two books out that were traditionally published, and people can learn through those books about their intuition, about auras, which is the energy field around us. And why don't you tell us about those two books and how people could get them, you know, order them?
Well, the first book was Seven Keys to Awakening Your Psychic Potential, and this this is set up exactly the way I teach my introductory workshop. The first chapter is about feeling energy from each other's hands. In other words, you can take this book and you could teach a workshop with it. It's step by step by step. Even the script is in there about how I have people do the relaxation technique and then how they go about, step by step. And so it's a wonderful guide, a very simple guide. You could take it to your study group and, you know, each week try a different experience, psychometry, what we used to call astral projection is now called remote viewing, healing, seeing auras, feeling auras for the differences in the auras. So that's a step-by-step guide. That's why I wrote it. People asked me to, so I did. And then I co-authored.
And that's the Unlocking Your Intuition, the Seven Keys?
Yes, that's that one.
Yeah.
And then I co-authored Edgar Cayce, Auras and Colors, Learn to Understand Color and See Auras, with Kevin Tedeschi, who is the CEO of the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment. And he and I wrote that book together. And there, again, it gives you all kinds of information about how to see auras, how to practice seeing it. Okay, you see energy around someone. What does it mean? How do you interpret it? What do the colors mean if you see in color right away? Because each color has a different meaning. And there are seven layers to the aura. And what does each one mean? So it's packed full of information and really helps you really understand how your own psychic ability works. You know, a mind works differently than maybe yours does, and that's why it's so nice, so helpful, I think, for people to be in a workshop, because the instructor, if they're a psychic, can really tell you, you know, well, here's something you might want to try that, you know, I feel psychically will work for you. And so those two books, I tried to be as comprehensive in helping people, you know, recognize and respect and apply their own psychic ability or their own intuition in their life and for whatever they want to use it for. And they can They can get the book through the ARE by calling the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment, or they can contact my office, and I have copies of the book, and I can autograph the book for you and get it to you then.
And what's the phone number for your office?
The phone number is 716-876-4414.
And then your website is carolannliaros.com. People can look you up there and find out more about you. And that's carolannliaros.com. And you also schedule readings to do if people were in the Hillsborough County, Florida area in person, and then also over the phone. You do readings worldwide for people in other countries as well, and they can get more information on your website and by calling that phone number. So I just want to thank you for being here this evening.
Most of my readings today, 99% of them are over the phone because they're calling, as you said, from different countries now, too.
Yeah, so that's wonderful. It's great to be able to do that. So thank you for being here with me on this show this evening. And I'm going to tell everyone to please join me next Tuesday, March 23rd at noon for my 15-minute quick lunch break show, where we will take a peek into my booklet, Fun Signs, the astrological activity and coloring booklet I created 40 years ago. No giggles, but yes, it was about 40 years ago. You can learn a few key differences of each sign and how others think and feel differently than you. It's a fun learning tool that can nurture empathy and compassion for others, which is important in these trying times. I am having the book's artwork redesigned and hope to have the new version available soon, so stay tuned for the release date on that. And be sure to tune in also to my next evening show, Wednesday, March 31st, where my special guest is Deborah Ann Latuka from East Amherst, New York. She is a certified TBA practitioner, kinesiologist, homeopath, certified reflexologist, quantum touch and EFT practitioner. She's also certified in homeopathy. She believes the body has every potential and ability to fully and totally heal if the cause of the problem is removed. And finally, do you know someone who might be interested to be a guest on my show? Have them email me at meeting.ike.series@gmail.com. Thank you for being with us this evening.